abandon free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
There will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine, and let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 4th, 2014, 10th or Tuesday, once again on the Tom Woods Show. And, of course, we're joined by Michael Bolden, Executive Director of the 10th Amendment Center. We're going to talk about what's going on around the country in terms of state nullification, state resistance against the federal government. Particularly, we're going to talk about the NSA and the ongoing campaign that the 10th Amendment Center and a whole coalition of groups have against the NSA on a state-by-state basis. Michael Bolden, welcome back for another 10th or Tuesday, man. How do you like the fact that your subject is the only one that I have an alliterative phrase for?
Well, it's going to be the only one permanently, because if anything changes from that, I don't know if we're going to have 10th or Tuesday anymore.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I was going to have Marillion Monday, because I got Steve Hogarth coming on the program tomorrow. That's going to have to be Marillion Wednesday. It doesn't quite work, but 10th or Tuesday is going to be a stable part of this show until one of us dies, is my...
Well, I'm pretty excited, Tom. There's lots to talk about, and it's an exciting conversation.
All right, here we go. First thing I want to talk about is this campaign against the NSA, offnow.org. Now, I had Mike Mahari on a couple months ago, and, you know, I'm making maybe you don't know this, but I'm making an ebook of the transcripts of all the interviews from 2013. Mm-hmm. So you'll be in it, giving it away to all the listeners. So I was just going over, giving it one last pair of eyes before we put this thing out. And that Mahari interview is 10 times better than I remember. Like, I remember thinking, yeah, this was pretty good. But, I mean, it was actually fantastic. It's so interesting. So first, since not everybody listening now was listening then, give us the lowdown. It's not just turning off the water, although that is a big part of it. Tell us, first of all, what the NSA campaign is, and then I want to talk about the unbelievable avalanche of mainstream media you guys have been getting.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Now, think of this as a chess game. I mean, I know you like chess, Tom, but not every piece or every move is taking the queen or taking the king and
right.
checkmate.
Great analogy.
So resources might be our checkmate move. Well, or taking the queen, really effectively making things very difficult for the NSA. And that can happen in currently 9 states. We're talking Utah with 1.7 million gallons of water a day for the data center. Maryland, 5 million gallons of water every day from Howard County, Maryland, to analyze the data coming from the Utah data center, electricity in Texas and other states. So that's kind of like the big move. But the NSA relies on state and local cooperation to do what it wants to do in other areas. For example, one of the most important areas is data sharing. The NSA, through the Special Operations Division, that's called SOD of the DEA, this is formerly secret SOD, other beyond a report from Reuters last year, they're taking warrantless data and passing it along to state and local law enforcement for its use in just everyday criminal prosecution. So the idea is they're already probably prosecuting people for criminal cases on things that were obtained without a warrant. So that just violates the whole system. We could get into a whole probably episode on why that's a bad thing. Well, the legislation that's being introduced around the country not only would ban the use of resources and material supports to the NSA, it would ban this type of information in criminal proceedings or in court on a state level. So that would thwart some of the practical effects of what the NSA is trying to do. So the idea here is that maybe we can't necessarily stop the NSA from doing what it wants to do or collecting the data, but we can stop it from doing what it wants to do with that data once they get it in many situations. And I personally think, and I think Mike has said this in a number of interviews, this actually might be the most important part with practical effect of what we're doing against the NSA right now.
Yeah, everybody's focusing on the water aspect because they need this huge amount of water to cool their machines and stuff from all the spying and all the collection and algorithms and whatever. But and I think people are interested in that because it's so dramatic. It represents such a dramatic showdown. But you're right. I think what you're describing is maybe in practical effect and in terms of the likelihood of success, maybe in some ways the better bet. But I like to see the full spectrum dominance. Let's take an imperial phrase from the bad guys and use it for ourselves, right? Let's dominate in every conceivable corner of this question. Now, you got onto CBS News and you weren't made to look crazy. Like, what is the secret formula for accomplishing this?
Well, I'm a pretty likable guy.
That is it, by the way. You're not just being facetious. That is 99% of it. Yeah.
Well, in a way, a lot of times when I talk to reporters, in all honesty, when I talk to reporters or people who do production, a lot of them will say to me, well, okay, I was expecting to have to argue with you. And this is not uncommon. I think a lot of people look at the media as being the bad guys. I certainly do. But you know what? They're human, and a lot of them were educated by the Paul Krugmans of the world, so they've been misinformed. They've gone to the standard school of thought and learned really bad stuff. So when you present things in a positive way, and I think this is what Harry Brown used to talk about for so many years, is, you know, learn how to reach inside someone, put it in terms that make sense to them. And on this issue of NSA spying, I personally think that's a very easy thing to do unless you're talking to someone who works for the government.
So what else has been going on? It's not just CBS giving a completely neutral overview, neutral to positive, because they didn't quote anybody saying Michael Bolden is a threat to national security, this whole, which, by the way, might have gotten you a lot of donations if they had done that.
No.
But there wasn't anything.
Okay.
I mean, there was nothing on the other side of things that was presented. It was a neutral story in which you got to give your point of view, and nobody gave a contrary point of view. So this has now spread to many other mainstream outlets. So tell us about some of the attention you've been getting. Give me some examples. Who's reporting on this?
Well, just about everybody in the mainstream. Just in 1 week, we were covered by U.S. News and World Report, ABC News Online. The Guardian covered us over in the U.K., the effort. And again, this is mostly focusing on the effort to turn the water up. And as he said, this is kind of that big, exciting, big hitter. And maybe that's what's bringing attention. But to me, what becomes really exciting for that is that those who aren't willing to go that far on a state level with legislation are actually moving forward with pieces of the puzzle. We were talking about the data sharing. There's a bill in Missouri that would change the state constitution that would ban the state of Missouri from using this warrantless data in court. In Utah, our friend Connor Boyack is working on a bill to not only ban the data sharing, but also cell phone location tracking. We know that local police, along with NSA and FBI, are tracking millions of people's locations around the country. And if they try to track them, that's bad enough. But these type of bills will actually stop how it's actually used. They won't be able to use it in prosecution.
Now, what about the possibility of cooperating across, let's say, ideological lines? Because really, decentralization shouldn't really be ideological. Like, everybody should favor local control, right? I don't even see that this is debatable, but apparently it is. Now, on the one hand, you do have people, I bet, who are willing to say, I don't agree with the 10th Amendment Center on a lot, but this is a brilliant idea. But on the other hand, I know, was it on Think Progress, on one of these sites that said, now, wait a minute, progressives, don't you get in bed with the 10th Amendment Center on this turning off the water thing, because before you know it, they're going to want to turn off the water to the local welfare agency. So the message seems to be, as you can spy on me all you want as long as you keep giving me free stuff.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what our good friend Ian Millhiser and some other clown that wrote with him said at thinkprogress.org. Don't use this, progressives, because it might work.
Yeah.
And to me, that is the number one reason why it's full green light, and we should ramp up the pressure at every turn possible to do this, because it might work. And that is a wonderful thing to hear. You know, it's fortunate to Think Progress is one of the few that actually take this type of position.
Right.
We've had very positive coverage over at Truthout. Norman Solomon of Roots Action published an article at Common Dream in support, lobbied in support in Washington State. We've seen articles supportive over a counterpunch and elsewhere. In general, the left is very understanding of this. The left has used this type of activism, refusing to cooperate with federal acts on real ID and on the legalization of marijuana for many years. So people get it when it's put to them in a positive way. They're able to actually digest it. Unfortunately, some people just want to keep people divided in one side versus the other. And, that's what they wanted to do for ages.
Whereas the tenthers bring people together, Michael, right? Tenthers bring people together.
Okay, that's the first I've heard of that. No one ever says that to me in a serious interview other than this, because no one wants to admit that. When it gets down to it, we're going to not only irritate everybody, but we're also going to make everybody happy, because everyone has an issue that to them, they don't like how the federal government is doing it, and we're giving them a message, let's do it closer to home, and that's positive to someone on some issue, and we're going to continue building what we call single-issue coalitions to get things done.
Michael, I want you to abandon any false modesty or anything like that. I want you to throw that all out the window. I want honesty. I want to know, because I think the listeners want to know, when you look at the provisions of the ideal anti-NSA bill, which would include the water, which would include not allowing the use of the data in evidence, etc., when you put all these provisions, and also making sure that universities in the state aren't cooperating, all kinds of things that the state can do, whose idea was this? Who came up with these ideas? Was it some think tank somewhere came up with it and then you decided to copy it? Where did the ideas come from? Now, be honest with me. I want to know.
Do I have to be honest?
You're darn right you do. It's 10th or Tuesday, right?
All right. If it was Wednesday.
Yeah, that will all bets would be off. Right.
if it started anywhere, it started with myself. With a number of people on my team last summer, started thinking, okay, this NSA thing after the Snowden leaks, this is huge. Is there something we can do? And I initially thought, nah. I mean, what can you do to stop the NSA? Or what can you do to even give them a difficult time? So started researching, spent about 3 weeks digging into this, and then all of a sudden started finding some DOD contracts that were declassified about water and things like that, and all of a sudden the light bulb came off. So the idea in its very inception did come from myself, but then I worked on some other people to put the legislation together. Blake Filippi, who I believe you've met over the years.
Oh, yeah.
He originally,
good guy.
Yeah, Blake helped out a great deal with the legislation, Mike Mahery, and then our friends over at Bill of Rights Defense Committee, who is a leading partner in the coalition over at offnow.org. We worked the legislation together, and it's still evolving. This is something that, I mean, if anybody thinks this is a silver bullet that's going to end NSA spying in 1 year, you've got another thing coming. It's not going to happen like that. But we believe that every piece of the puzzle is an important piece of the puzzle. So whether it's banning the use of location tracking or banning the use of data in court or turning off water or passing a bill in Oklahoma where there is no data center to say we're not going to allow the state to give water or electricity to the NSA. Well, you know what? That's an important thing, because if all the other states other than Utah or Maryland or Texas start doing this, then the NSA can't get any bright ideas that, okay, well, we'll just jump ship and move next door to Nevada or California.
Right, right.
Because the fact of the matter is boxing them in and making it extremely difficult for them to find other options. Again, this is a chess match, and each play is a very important one. Sometimes we'll give up a few pawns, though.
All right, so let me make clear then. The raw idea for this came out of the head of Michael Bolden, executive director and founder of the 10th Amendment Center. It came out of your head, and now you're seeing this tremendous coverage, this tremendous momentum behind it. I can't imagine how satisfying that may be. I mean, not that you sit around, you have no time to sit around. You work ridiculous number of hours a day, but if you had more leisure time, I don't think you'd be sitting around thinking, the awesomeness of myself and how great, but it's still, there's got to be part of you that says, I can't believe not only am I part of this, but I really kind of got this row of dominoes falling just by starting to tip them. And I want to point out, having said this, that when we talk about thinkprogress.org, we're talking about a well-funded organization that gets money from George Soros. And now a lot of times people talk about groups like the 10th Amendment Center as being well-funded. They made that up, right? They invent that to make you guys sound scary. You guys are not well-funded, and I think that's one of the great outrages of American life right now, you should be well-funded. People listening to this program should be pulling out their checkbooks and saying, here's a guy who works for a pittance, who comes up with brilliant ideas like this, who works his tail off 24 hours a day. And in other words, take that money that you were going to send to the Heritage Foundation, who's going to spend its time undermining what the 10th Amendment Center is doing, who's going to spend their money on cocktail parties with Ben Bernanke, on limousine services for their president. Take that check and say, you know what, I'm not a sucker. I'm going to send it to something that's run by somebody who's conscientious, who knows what he's doing, who has a good face for the media, who's full of good ideas. And damn it, it's David versus Goliath here. And I'm going to come down on the side of the underdog and help out the 10th Amendment Center at 10thamendmentcenter.com. What do you say to that, Michael Bolden?
It's awesome. First of all, thank you for saying that. More kind words than I would ever expect. But it's awesome that you brought up Heritage Foundation, because along with Think Progress, they're the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
Who's attacking this effort. They specifically put out an article. Mike Meharry crushed them in a response. He got a media call on just all you have to do is write about how Heritage is lying about the Constitution and people want to talk to you about it.
Oh, yeah.
But this is another organization that is trying to do this. And if we had even one-tenth the funding that these folks do, look what we're doing without the money. Not that I want to turn this into a fundraising message, because we're going to keep trucking along, doing this same thing, reaching out into the entire world. The entire world is watching this campaign to decentralize and to use effective methods of actual resistance. This isn't just a parlor game that we're talking about here. We're talking about turning off the electricity in Texas. We're turning off the water in Utah to the NSA. This is serious resistance, something that could be historical. I believe it can work with enough people behind it. It has worked in the past, primarily when northern states refused to provide material support or cooperation to federal fugitive slave laws. They wouldn't allow, in Michigan, for example, the state jails to be used to capture black people, to send them into ownership into the South. But we've got the moral high ground on our side. We've modeled much of our strategy after that resistance to federal slavery laws of the 1850s. We believe it's time to put it in practice and actually make it happen again. Whether it's happening just today or over the next 5 or 10 years, it's got to be done.
You know, Michael, before we went on the air, you were telling me, we were talking about what we should talk about, what should we cover this time, and you said, well, look, it's nullification season right now. And I love that. I like the idea that we've got summer, winter, spring, you know, then we have fall, and then we have nullification, right? You know, I mean, like, so nullification is a season. I just love that. We got 5 seasons. One of them's nullification. So what do you mean by that? Like, it's like a new springtime of nullification? And if so, what are some of the blooming flowers that you see around the country?
Well, 2 reasons for that. One, it is kind of a new spring for nullification. The fact that it's being talked about, the fact that anonymous tweets out to a couple million people nullify NSA, and no one seems to say that that's crazy or racist when they do it.
So yeah, anonymous supports slavery.
right. Yeah. So this type, there is a new modern nullification spring of as a way of putting it. But also, this is a time of year when state legislatures are in session in most states around the country, January to April, maybe May.
That's why it's nullification season. I get it. Okay.
Yes. So there's bills all over the country being considered on various things, from banning weaponized drones over a state's airspace to legalizing hemp in defiance of the federal prohibition on growing this industrial product that's used in soaps and granola. we're tracking somewhere between 60 and 70 some odd bills around the country. NSA on nullifying federal gun control, on drones, on hemp legalization, on stopping Obamacare in South Carolina, in Oklahoma, and Missouri. It's amazing. It's hard to keep up with all of it, but we do our best. Yes, yesterday on Monday, there were 7 or 8 bills that were being voted on in either committees or in state houses. And, I mean, we're still trying to figure out all the updates, but we'll have that soon over at 10thamendmentcenter.com.
Do you have any sense of not only which bills, on which topics, but also in which states the greatest likelihood of passage might be?
Yeah, well, I think, for example, on NSA, I think the greatest likelihood of passing the full spectrum bill is in Oklahoma, California, and Alaska. On the right to keep and bear arms, nullifying federal gun control, Arizona and Missouri. There's a bill that passed the Missouri Senate, I think it was 23 or 22 to 10, that would nullify basically any federal gun control measure, past, present, or future. And that's very likely to pass the House. It missed a veto override by one vote last year, but our friend Ron Calzone from Missouri First is working very hard to get that one additional vote for this time around, because I'm sure the governor is going to veto it. But this is, these things are very close to happening. On drones, there's bills in Washington State and elsewhere, I think like 10 or 15 states that are moving forward, Indiana, Wisconsin, and elsewhere to nullify some warrantless drone spying. In Utah, there's the bill to turn off the water. That's going to be probably a multi-year project, but the people working there, the state rep Mark Roberts plus Connor Boyack, plus people at Occupy Moab and groups across the political spectrum are really getting behind that type of legislation in Utah. Now, we can go on this for quite a while. There's hemp legalizing in places like Washington State, even West Virginia. Colorado started growing this plant in defiance of federal law last year, and they just started issuing licenses to do so again this past weekend. So things are moving forward, and what's most interesting is that it's across the political spectrum. This isn't a right-wing thing or a left-wing thing. There's issues for people who are on the right, the left, that are very important to them. And then, of course, for libertarians, all of them are good. To decentralize on every issue is a very important thing because that gets you closer to the proper decision-maker, and that's the individual.
I've got a trip a little bit later this year. I'll be able to give the details about it soon, but a little bit later this year, I've got a trip scheduled out to Utah specifically to promote the legislation there and promote the whole idea, publicize it, get people on board. So I'm really pleased about that and glad to have that chance. Now, do you still have the legislative tracking page at the 10th Amendment Center? How do you, are you able to keep it, if you do have it, are you able to keep it up to date with all these many, many, many bills? It's one thing when you had 10 bills, but now you've got all these things going on. How are you able to do that other than working 8 zillion hours a day, which I think is the answer?
That is the answer. It's tracking.10thamendmentcenter.com. It's actually evolved. It's a lot nicer to use. You go in there and you can just pick an issue. So when you go to tracking.10thamendmentcenter.com, we've got 6 or 8 top issues to the left side. You click whatever is important to you, whether it's Obamacare, gun control, hemp, marijuana, NSA, drones, et cetera, you click that, and then you can see what's going on in states around the country. You click on the state. You want to know if you want to support a bill to ban warrantless drone spying in Iowa. Well, there's one that passed the House, and it tells you on that page who you need to call to get it to pass the Senate. So this is a really powerful tool. We're seeing more and more people use it every single week, and that's exciting to me.
Do you know off the top of your head how many state chapters of the 10th Amendment Center you have?
No, I can't even keep track.
Well, I mean,
people in place.
It's more than five.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Florida, Tennessee, Arizona, Texas, Pennsylvania, across the country, there are various people. We want more and more people to do that. It's hard to find people who are willing to dedicate 5-10 hours a week, I mean, just an hour a day even, to do this because, you know, the way that they destroy the economy, the way they destroy the dollar, keeps everyone in a very difficult situation economically. You have to work so much, two family incomes, a home has to have two incomes really to pay for it in most situations. And you know what? Most people, I think, really want to do normal things, like go to work, come home, spend time with your family, go to sleep. And it's hard to be able to find the extra time to do this. But those who are doing that are having great effect on a state and local level, building coalitions, educating people, and actually having practical effect. The great example is our great team in Arizona, where we've got a team of four people. All it's taking is 4 people to work this year, and we've got a number of bills moving forward to the state Senate for a vote on against NSA spying, nullifying gun control, and on requiring federal agents to have to check in with a local sheriff before they really do anything on a local area. So these are things that are moving forward in Arizona because 3 people decide to put in a few hours a week. And if we had that in every state in the country, it would be pretty massive.
I bet you there are people who listen to this program who might say to themselves, you know, I can spare that amount of time, and there's no 10th Amendment Center chapter in my state. Can they just contact you if they have a serious inquiry and see if they can get the ball rolling?
Yeah, it's 10thamendmentcenter.com/volunteer. 10thamendmentcenter.com/volunteer. You let us know what you can do. I mean, even if it's not necessarily leading a chapter, if you like writing blogs or reporting on things or helping doing research, you can fill out some options there. Or if you've got another idea, let us know if you do video production or audio production. We'll pay you. There's so many projects that we could do. If people just let us know what they're good at, we'll do our best to have someone get in touch with you quickly.
All right, so here we are in early March. So by next month, probably the legislative session will be over in a lot of places. I know it ends in Utah in a couple of weeks, for example. So maybe we can come back and do a post-mortem and see what worked, what didn't, where do we need to go from here, where do we need to keep lobbying and pushing for these things. So I hope we can have a 10th or Tuesday in April.
Well, it won't be a post-mortem because that signifies death.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean, the death of the legislative session, not the death of our dreams.
Well, oftentimes, you know, when I research these bills in states, I'll scroll through hundreds of bills in a state, and 99.9% of them make me want to puke. But once in a while, you'll find a gem. So I guess, in a way, much of the legislative session is about death, taking liberty, taking property, taking your money for bad reasons. But every now and then, we've got something very positive. And I like how Ron Paul always seems to talk about how let's focus on some of the positive things. When we can get one little opening, get the door cracked open for liberty, I say we push as hard as we can.
Good man. Well, Michael Bolden, I appreciate you coming on here when you have no time to do so for 10th or Tuesday. Hope everybody will check out 10thAmendmentCenter.com and, of course, follow you guys or like your page on Facebook, follow you on Twitter, do all that stuff from 10thAmendmentCenter.com. Spelling out 10th, T-E-N-T-H. Michael Bolden, thanks again for another 10th or Tuesday.
Tom, you are awesome. Thank you.
All right, a couple notes before we wrap up. When I was in Idaho over the weekend, I was speaking to the Young Americans for Liberty Idaho State Convention. And I told them all about, well, in addition to my talk, of course, I told them all about libertyclassroom.com, and I got them salivating about it, and I said, well, by the way, everybody in this room who's a four-year student is going to get a free one-year subscription to libertyclassroom.com today. This is a site not only where you get courses that you can listen to and learn stuff on the go from professors you can trust, but also the Q&A forums really give you a lifeline to professors you can trust. When your professor's telling you something and you feel like the truth is probably the opposite, but you're not really sure, the forums at libertyclassroom.com with professors like, well, there's me, there's Kevin Gutzman, Brian McClanahan, author of The Founding Fathers' Guide to the Constitution. We got Jeff Herbener and G.P. Manish. G.P. has been a guest on this program. He'll answer your economic questions. We got Jared Casey from Ireland who can answer philosophical questions. We got all kinds of resources there to help you out. And so if you know somebody in your life who could use that kind of lifeline, then a gift subscription to libertyclassroom.com is just what the doctor ordered, or even indeed for yourself. And for yourself, you can get a discount over on the site using coupon code SHOW in all caps for you listeners. Remember, I'm going to be tomorrow night, I'm going to be at Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas. I hope you can make that. Then March 15th at the University of Central Arkansas. April 9th, I'm going to be at Florida Southern College, and April 10th, I'll be at Liberty University, and then we're cooking up an event for you guys in Utah in May. I hope to have a Boston area event either in late May or early June. Stay tuned for that. Now, you may be tempted to skip tomorrow's program. Please don't. Please, as a favor to me, listen in. Tomorrow's program is going to feature Steve Hogarth of Marillion. Now, you may not know Marillion. They've been around more than 30 years. They're a tremendous band, very, very interesting music they make. Hogarth has got such an interesting story to tell, though, about how their fans early on showed what the internet was capable of. Their fans basically invented the money bomb, and they basically invented the idea of crowdsourcing way before anybody else did. They were the first British band to have a functioning website. So there's a lot of interesting stuff, but he's just a great guy. Like, you're just going to fall in love with this guy. He's so funny and interesting and charming. He's just the exact opposite of what you expect from the music industry. And I'm so thrilled that we had a chance to talk to him. So make sure and listen. Even if you've never heard Marillion before, I guarantee you're going to enjoy our conversation. So don't tune that one out. Tune that one in. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
The Tom Woods Show.